Chaplain Milliken. You have that much fun in the Army? Doc? Yeah, I can play the guitar, can't he? Yes. And Doc knows how to play the guitar, too. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. 16th chapter of Matthew. Would you stand, please, in honor of God's Word? I'm going to begin reading in verse 21 in a moment, but just before that is the moment in which Simon Peter declared that Jesus was the Christ, Messiah, the promised one, the Son of the living God. And then in verse 21 it says, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you.' But Jesus turned to Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's.'" Father, I pray that we would set our mind on your interest. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If we're honest with ourselves, we will realize that there are times in our spiritual walk, times in our prayer life, in which we say something like this: "Father, not thy will, but my will be done." Now, you may not have said it that way, but I'll assure you that I know your heart. There are times in which you want your way, regardless of what God's way may be. We've been walking with Simon Peter for several weeks. Simon Peter is the everyman man. He's you, he's me. Human, emotional. Many times emotions got in the way of Simon Peter. Remember the time when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden and Simon pulled out a sword and cut off the man's ear? I don't think he was aiming for an ear. I think he was aiming for the middle of his face. His emotions, his sense of defensiveness for his friend Jesus. There was another time when Simon was warming his hands by the fire while Jesus was being tried, and he denied three times knowing Jesus. There was that time also up on the mountaintop where Jesus took Peter and James and John, and there they met Moses and Elijah. And the Bible says that Jesus was sort of transparent, white as snow, transfigured. And Simon was so caught up emotionally in the worship of that moment, he said, "Lord, let's just stay up on the mountain. Let's build three tabernacles, three memorials, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and we'll just continue in this euphoric state of worship." Jesus said, "No, you've got to go back down where the people are." And then there was that time in the garden before the arrest, before Jesus got a clear focus from God as to what he was to do. Jesus asked Simon to pray, but instead he slept. Emotions got in the way of Simon Peter. Have you ever had it happen to you? I had a young couple in my office several years ago, young soldier and his wife, and he was about to be deployed, and she was angry. She said, "I don't want you to go." I'll never forget his phrase. He said, "I have volunteered. I have surrendered to a higher authority. And therefore, I must do what they instruct me to do." I thought, what a great message spiritually. We have surrendered to a higher authority, and we are obligated to respond to that authority, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to focus on things above rather than things on the earth. And so Jesus told his disciples, he said, "I am going to Jerusalem to die." And Peter said, "No way." His emotion got the best of him. No way. We might have done the same. He did not want Jesus to have to suffer. We shouldn't have wanted Jesus to suffer. But that's from the human perspective. It was God's plan. It was God's will. A higher authority dictated that he should pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. You ever wondered what would have happened if Peter would have gotten his way? If Jesus would have said, "Okay, man, I appreciate it, Peter. You're thinking about me, and it may be that God is speaking to me through you, and so therefore I will back off of what I clearly know to be God's will. Jesus wouldn't have done that. But what if he had? What if Peter had gotten his way? Well, I tell you, one thing would have happened if Peter had gotten his way. You and I would have not been redeemed. We would not have been ransomed from the slave market of sin. Listen to what Jesus said. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and this is how he came to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. Paul wrote to young Timothy and said, Christ gave himself as a ransom for all. The word ransom means to be set free. We use the word redeemed to mean the same thing, to be delivered. Jesus is our Redeemer. He paid the penalty, bought us out of the slave market of sin. Someone once said it this way, he stands between sinful man and a holy God. Ransomed. You and I wouldn't be ransomed. We'd still be suffering the consequence of living in a sin nature if Peter had gotten his way. If Peter had gotten his way, we wouldn't be reconciled. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, God reconciled himself to us through Christ, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's a big word. What does it mean, reconciliation? Literally, it means to lay aside any judgment, to lay aside the wrath that comes, the consequences of a sin nature. Someone once wrote it this way, it's a change of state of enmity to one of friendship. Change of a state of enmity, judgment, to one of friendship, to be reconciled. We wouldn't be reconciled if Peter had had his way. We wouldn't be redeemed or ransomed if Peter had had his way. And we certainly wouldn't know the full extent of God's love if Peter had had his way. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Stood by the bedside of an older gentleman, his granddaughter, seeing that he was nearing death, became angry at God. Said, I can't believe that God is going to take Grandpa from me. You know, we use that kind of phrase when we talk about people dying, as if God is controlling the moment. But God has said that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And death is a part. As a matter of fact, it's a gift from God for us to move from this limited physical existence to the fullness of eternity. And yet, we often say, God forbid that that should take place. There's a fine line, I realize, between knowing for sure what God's will is and rebelling against it. And not being real sure, because some people tell us that they think they know what God's will is. But if all you have to do is read God's word and hear him say to us, love one another, and you don't do it, really saying God forbid. You read God's word and he says to pray without ceasing and we choose not to pray, then you are saying God forbid. God says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven for you and pour out a blessing beyond your capacity to contain it. And we choose not to do it. We choose to say, God forbid. And then wonder why we're not blessed by God. Jesus said he was going to die because it was clearly the will of God. Peter said, God forbid. And then Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He said, Peter, you are not responding to the will of God. You're responding to the influence of Satan. He said, you're not focusing upon God's interest, but you're focusing upon man's interest. Christ's death equals God's forgiveness. Without the death, there's no forgiveness. We should say, God forbid. We should decide that we'll not obey the will of God. Jesus said, I want you to be my witnesses. and we choose not to share the good news of great joy with all people, and therefore we're saying, God forbid. What happens when our emotions get in the way? The will of God gets diverted, sometimes perverted. But Jesus made it clear that it was God's will. And Jesus followed God's will and went to the cross so that you and I could be ransomed, could be reconciled, could experience the fullness of God's love. Focus upon things above, not just things on the earth. Focus upon the interest of God, not our emotional interest. Would you bow with me as we pray together? Father, I do thank you that as we walk with Simon Peter and see his humanity, we see ourselves. But we recognize that there's a time in which the focus is not to be on ourselves, but upon the will of God. So help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and let you take care of the details. Help us to not say, God forbid, but thy will be done. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's the application of the message for you today? Something that God has instructed you to do and you have been hesitant? Surrender. Let him have his way. Be obedient to him. Let's stand and sing a hymn of commitment. If there's a public response, I'll meet you at the front.
Calling for sinners.